Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Within football, we have silos.
We talk about hiring the man first, the coach second. I think he is an unbelievable person.
Every single person in this locker room right now is playing professional football.
Aaron get COVID, and the week they're like, yeah, you starting. And I'm like, okay, let's do it.
Looking back to Green Bay, I made a lot of long-lasting relationships there. You know, I got nothing but love for the city.
What's up, guys? This is Jeff Giannis.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Poor Man's Packers Podcast, from one Packers podcast in the state of our minds. I am Spencer, joined this week with Billy and Todd. Boys,
hello, hello.
Greetings, gentlemen.
And we are back for another episode after, well, I don't know, training camp continuing. We had the Colts preseason game. We have the Seahawks joint practice. We're getting ready for the Seahawks practice on Saturday, or preseason game on Saturday. A couple little things to talk about, and you know, it's been a week. We gotta talk about the green and gold. So first thing to bring up, you know, it's bubbling up once again. Very fun. I'm sure something will come from this. But the Micah Parsons trade rumors, you know, a little something fun right off the top. We know it's not actually gonna happen, right? But it's something to talk about.
Right.
For those that don't know, I think this started from Ricky Scoops, the dog on Twitter, who has been a pretty decent insider for the most part on Twitter. He's like a faceless alias guy. He seems to have connections with some agents, but he did tweet out that the Packers made a substantial offer to the Cowboys for Micah Parsons, who tweeted out a while ago that he had asked for a trade, and all the reports came out for that. That's one thing, you know, that happens quite a bit. You know, Myles Garrett, similarly, this offseason kind of went through that. But there seems to be some fighting in-house between him and Jerry Jones and his agent. What brings this, I don't know, that makes it a little bit more serious is Ian Rapoport did say that the Packers would be interested. And, you know, that's kind of one of those things, especially when someone else starts the rumor, that a real NFL insider might try to squash that rumor. But instead, he kind of kept it going. So maybe there is a little bit behind it. But I don't know. Micah Parsons, would you be interested? Do you think it's going to happen? And I mean, it's one of those I think it would be fun to have happen. But would you want to give up as much as it would probably take to get a player like Micah Parsons?
Well, we should set, what do we think it takes? Do we send Rashawn Gary and a one?
I don't think that would be enough. Well, Schefter said that the framework for this should be the Khalil Mack trade from 2018 from the Raiders to the Bears, which I believe was
that
like
two ones.
It was essentially two ones, and I think like the Bears even got a second. Like there was some other shenanigans back and forth. I don't know if one of you two want to look it up. I'm not going to.
If we sent two ones, Gary, and got back a second, should we lay that as like just for discussion purposes? What if we do that?
What I laid out, because the Cowboys have some issues going on. I don't know exactly where their offensive line is right now. Their rookie from last year out of Oklahoma State, I believe, or Oklahoma. He had a knee injury, but it sounds like it wasn't season ending, which they initially thought. But my thought was, Rashawn Gary, Rashid Walker, and a first-round pick. Maybe it would be two first-round picks. I wouldn't be against that. Maybe it's a second-round pick. But that's where I would start. And
Gary, Walker, and a one?
Yeah.
So for reference, the 2018 Khalil Mack trade, okay, the Bears gave up a 2019 first-rounder, a 2020 first-rounder, a 2020 third-rounder, and a 2019 sixth-rounder. And in exchange, they got Khalil Mack, a 2020 second-rounder, and a conditional 2020 fifth.
Okay.
Performance.
So, yeah, I'd essentially say, yeah, two firsts, and then it kind of washes with the third and second and all that.
Right.
So that's not, you know, that's doable, right? I think that was when Mack was still coming off his first contract too, I believe, kind of like Parsons here, who I believe is only 26 or 27 years old. This is the fourth year of his deal, I believe. So obviously the big thing too is we'd have to give him a new contract. The other right. thing that Adam Schefter threw out there is allegedly the Cowboys offered him the most money for a defensive end ever and they refused it. So again, it's a little yeah. tough for the Packers to manage because we kind of do specific things with our contracts where we don't really guarantee beyond the first year. In a big contract like this, it might be a little tougher, especially one to negotiate a trade while also negotiating a contract that's going to make someone probably the highest paid at their position in the history of football. So, I don't know.
We do have a fair amount of cap space if we were to swing for the fences on this, right?
Right. And it's one of those that I haven't looked into, but I know it's easier hypothetically to move on from Rashawn Gary next year. So that makes me think that moving his contract wouldn't be the worst thing now either. That would free up some space. I know next year we're a little bit more in a cap crunch than we are currently. But yes, what is it? We have like $31 million in cap space right now, I believe.
Feels about right.
So I don't know. Obviously, if it happened, I would be elated. I assume, again, we'd have to trade one of our ends just because
right.
it would be quite the crowded room, and I think they're halfway decent, you know, in the back end. I mean, who's our worst? And right now, it's probably going to make the team like Brenton Cox.
Well, if you're comparing the back end to the front end, our back end is doing fine.
Fair, right.
Because our front end is underperforming, is my point.
Yeah, but it's training camp, so they're all performing very well right now.
Our front end grossly underperformed last year.
yes.
What? So. What position does Parsons play? Is he a D-end in a 4-3, or does he play like a stand-up outside linebacker role, or kind of a hybrid?
I believe they run a 4-3. I'll look.
You know, that's probably a good question, too. I always think of him as an end. I mean, it's something with Halfley, too, where you know he'd probably just move him around quite a bit, and that's the other thing, because maybe
it's a 4-3.
And if he plays end or linebacker?
He's an end.
Okay.
He's an edge. He's a true edge.
Okay. I mean, it feels like anytime there's a star player like this that is quote unquote on the trade block or requested a trade or whatever, it feels like there's always a talking head that says, oh, the Packers would be in on this or should be in on this or whatever. And then the deal happens and, oh, the Packers were in, but they didn't offer nearly enough or whatever. You know, right. It feels like we get our hopes up only to get them dashed. That being said, if I think about the position group on the team that I think is weakest, defensive end is up there. And getting Micah Parsons, who is probably a top three edge rusher in the league, depending on what you think of Myles Garrett or TJ Watt.
Yeah.
I mean,
who are both much older than him too, and we don't really go after late 20s or early 30-year-olds.
Yeah. Like that would instantly make that group so much stronger. I mean, as much of a Lucas Van Ness hater as I am, like if he has Micah Parsons on the opposite edge, he's going to see single teams for days.
Right.
And that's going to give him the best opportunity to produce is having a all-pro caliber player opposite him. So yep. I wouldn't mind the trade for if you know, if it takes two first rounders, I mean, if we think this is a Super Bowl roster or a roster that can compete for a Super Bowl, why not go all in and try and go get one of the best pass rushers in the league?
Yeah, and it's one of those things, too, where when we won the Super Bowl, you know, back in 2010, you know, we always got to make these connections and similarities. Are what we, you know, the strength of that defense was Charles Woodson on the back end and Clay Matthews up front, and Micah Parsons and Xavier McKinney would be a pretty good one too, kind of similar to that as well. So we'll see what happens. There's a little bit more news with that tonight, not like, you know, this is going to change anything immediately, but he did tweet, Micah 7-8 is what he said. Quote, "Even if I fall, I will rise. The Lord is my light." And as Jacob Morley on Twitter quote tweeted that and said, "The last time the Lord spoke to a pass rusher, he ended up in Green Bay," talking about Reggie White, if you guys haven't heard the story, where when he was a free agent, Mike Holmgren called him and left a message pretending to be God saying, "Reggie, go to Green Bay." And then, of course, Reggie went to Green Bay. So we'll see. Last thing on this. I guess he deleted like his Cowboy shit off Twitter today too. Not like that's ever happened before with other disgruntled players.
That being said, I still think chances of him getting traded to Green Bay are less than 1%.
I would say 90% he's going to be back with the Cowboys. The other thing I just want to bring up is, did you guys see that Jerry Jones clip from earlier this week? From the Cowboys documentary where he was talking about the playoff loss to the Packers in 2023?
No.
Oh, God. You guys didn't see this? Fuck, I thought for not. Sure.
I haven't
watched
it yet.
You could, like, splice it in here.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know if the audio is good enough to splice in, but it's so cinematic of him, like, shaking his head, and he's like, "This is the worst loss we've had in the franchise's history," talking about Jordan Love ripping him apart. And it is great. It is, like, one of the best, like, Packers. Like, you know, sometimes you might get down in the dumps because we haven't won a Super Bowl since 2010, but then you see the effect we've had on other franchises and just the owner of another franchise, a notorious one with the Cowboys as well, which... Wildy threw this out. The drought now between Super Bowls with the 95 Cowboys and now is the same as it was with the 66 or 67 Packers and 1996. So that's just how long of a drought.
29 years.
Yeah, I don't think their lows were as bad as ours were in the 70s and 80s, but still pretty funny to hear that statistic.
It is interesting too, because I think we're talking back to, like, Parsons, he came in under Dan Quinn, which is also a 4-3, but then his latest was Zimmer. So two really good D coordinators that he's worked under, and I believe Zimmer, I was just looking it up here to see what all Zimmer was doing with Zimmer the Cowboys, and I believe he was rushing him from a Y9 tech too. So it seems like, again, just a guy that could do it all, I guess. Just credit to
you can Parsons. Yeah, you can plug him wherever. Moving on, before we get to the 53, I don't know if I said this off the top. We're going to talk about the fucking Colts game. We're going to talk about the Seahawks practice shit and what's coming up. And then we're going to do a 53-man roster projection. You probably read the title of the podcast. You get what's going on. Packers-Colts game. Again, we'll breeze through this. This was last Saturday. Packers did end up winning 23-19. Ended up being a pretty good game where down the stretch it was back and forth, and then the Packers won on a Dez didn't catch it with Jelani Woods in the end zone there. But overall, quarterbacks were okay. Taylor Allgeirsma, 7 for 11, 109 yards. Sean Clifford, 1 for 4. He did have a couple nice rushes and the go-ahead rushing touchdown. The running backs were fine as well. The main thing to look at for that is Marshawn Lloyd, again, he has legitimately got to have some of the worst luck in NFL history as far as injuries go, because it was the hip, the knee, the groin, and now it's his hamstring again, obviously the lacerated appendix last year. And now, again, it seems like he's going to be out a couple weeks. Wouldn't be surprised.
He had a lacerated appendix last year?
Yeah, remember he was finally practicing again and he had appendicitis.
I don't remember that.
Oh, yeah. It was like Bakhtiari the year or 2 years before that same thing happened when he was slowly coming back and then he was out for a month on top of it. So I assume at this point, just for how often he gets banged up, that he's going to start the year on the short-term IR and then start practicing for a couple weeks. So yeah, kind of makes the running back position a little bit easier when we get to that. But again, running backs are fine. Sorrell, he got banged up too. He potentially could also be an IR candidate. If not, he obviously would make the roster, but something to watch going forward. Cornelius looked good, the one receiver. Solid. Simmons, again, didn't look great on defense, just lost out there. Ben Sims is once again making a bit of a run to make the roster when it seems like Fitzpatrick overtook him. He had a catch, and I think he might have had a touchdown this game too. One of them might have been called back. And the offensive line depth is being tested. Belton had 5 penalties, I believe, in the first half.
Yeah.
They, after the game or after the next practice, I believe it was Rashid Walker said that at halftime they gave him some clementines and that's what calmed him down. And then Belton was better after that. And Belton agreed. He was like, yeah, I needed some citrus in his body to slow him down. So
what the fuck?
Yeah. So yeah, just like a kid playing soccer, you know, at halftime, you need to have a little snack to
was his blood sugar
needs his
low?
Slices.
Yeah. I don't know. So we'll see. And Belton again, I mean, he's been solid, but it's again now popping up where are we going to have to move him to guard? Because he's a great physical presence, but his footwork is kind of the issue with him and he can't move as quick. So if you kind of put him in a box there between two guys, maybe he'd do a little bit better. I don't know.
You're talking about Belton?
Yes, Belton. Because, you know, he's only played tackle at this point, and we're decently deep at tackle right now. And on the interior is a little bit more where we're thin. Again, last thing, I mean, late comeback, we won. Other thing to talk about. Did you guys see the socks that the Packers were wearing in this game?
Did not.
So it was a little bit different. John Meerdink did talk about this on his podcast, and I noticed it as well watching it. So usually with the away jerseys, obviously they're white, but we usually go with the green team color for the socks. This game, they elected to go all white, which had a little bit more of a throwback look. I mean, Emmanuel Wilson had that one really nice catch and run, I believe it was, on the outside where he kind of high stepped. That looked kind of cool with the white socks. Like, his legs almost looked longer because of the continuation of the neutral color instead of the green on there. I would want there to instead be maybe 2 green stripes on the socks. I think that would be a good look, but I did not hate it. Do you guys have any opinion on the socks?
I'm looking at them now. Mm-hmm. I do like it with the away jerseys.
Yeah.
I like the white socks.
John Meerdink really hated it.
If you do white socks with white shoes, I think that's a good look.
Clean. Yeah. But what would you think about a couple stripes? I think 2 stripes would make it a little bit better. You think of like Reebok.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm fine without the stripes. You could do the stripes too. But the problem with stripes on socks is the socks are never, like, the stripes never line up.
Yeah. Pull them up before every play.
It just looks dumb.
Yeah.
Well, most guys, like, if you have white socks, you're not wearing socks. You're wearing leggings.
Fair.
Then you don't have to mess with them.
Fair. Billy, do you have any hot sock takes?
I was going to say, I came into this podcast woefully unprepared to talk about fashion on the field.
Mm.
Having said that's weird. just looking at 2 or 3 photos from the game, I don't like the look. I feel like we need to have the contrast. I want the green.
Okay.
What if we go white pants, white socks, white jersey?
Yeah.
No.
White out.
I don't mind the white out, but I think that's more of a home thing too, and it's just a little, I don't know. We have the whole white out with the white helmet as well, which I think that was announced to, fuck, I don't remember what games, so I can't talk about it. But if you want to look it up, you can look up when we're wearing the throwbacks and when we're wearing the whiteout this year. I want to say we're doing the whiteout against the Commanders week 2.
Whiteout is week 2 against the Commanders. We will honor Sterling Sharp that game. Yeah. And then the 1923...
And September 11th, RIP.
RIP
to
Spencer.
All those.
The 1923 Classic and the throwbacks is week 9 against Carolina, which feels interesting to me. Like, wearing throwback jerseys from 1923 against a team invented
that's
in 1995.
Like, that's like 20 years old, yeah.
Right. Like, we could have worn it against the Bears in week 14. We could have worn it against the Eagles in week 10.
Speaking about the Panthers, too, I heard this today. I think Wildy said this on... It might have been one of his hits on a different radio station. But he said, and I don't know how it got brought up, but I think it's because he was talking about the Cowboys being bad, now that I think of it. But when the Packers beat the Panthers to go to the Super Bowl in 96, Ray Nitschke was alive at the time, and apparently he was crying, like, on the sidelines. He was so happy that the Packers were going to a Super Bowl game. I've always loved Ray Nitschke. I had never heard that story before. Once again, one of the, like, meanest-looking dudes, but he stayed in Green Bay. He loved the Packers. But to hear he actually cried when they made the Super Bowl again, I was like, oh, okay, that's pretty cool.
Kind of soft, right?
I mean, a little soft, too, but, I mean, he was probably like, fuck what, in his 60s,
that's what we always
70s.
Say about Ray.
Yeah, we've always said
big ol' softy.
Well, no, that's what he, you know, he was pretty rough around the edges, and then he credited his wife with kind of turning him into a family man, and that was the juxtaposition with him, was like at home, like just this big teddy bear of a man, a great husband, a loving father, you know, all that, and then just the meanest son of a bitch on the football field.
Clotheslining quarterbacks.
Right. And
two things, God, we're taking a Ray Nitschke turn here. Two things on him. One, my dad, again, growing up in Superior, Wisconsin, the Packers back in the day would have a traveling basketball team that they would do in the offseason. It probably was even to, like, raise money for themselves because they didn't have much to do. And I think it was in the 70s, but Ray Nitschke was on the team. And my dad said that he, like, beat the shit out of a guy during one of the games because he was so pissed off at there was a fight. He said that. The other thing was when I was 14, 15, whatever years old, and I was a rail bird going to Packers practices and getting autographs, there was a couple older guys there. And by older, that was relative to my age at the time. So they were probably in their late 20s or 30s. But they said that like 10 years before that, like Ray Nitschke never took his name out of the phone book in Green Bay. So one day these two guys just called him and he was like, hey, come over, have a cup of coffee. So they went over and spent the day with Ray Nitschke, had coffee with him. He signed a bunch
That's
of shit
so
and
cool.
They were like, he couldn't
That's
have been
awesome.
A better guy. So just very, I don't know, very varied individual there with Ray Nitschke. One of the few books I've read in my life is Mean on Sunday, Ray Nitschke's autobiography.
How confused will the younger listeners be by phone book when you said that?
Yeah, isn't that weird? Yeah, they don't.
When's the last
anymore.
Time you saw a phone book? They don't exist.
Yeah,
for years.
I mean, even for me, I started saying yearbook instead of phone book because phone books don't exist anymore.
Like, when's the last time? Like 10 years ago, you think? Maybe you got a phone book delivered to your house.
Well, think about the trees.
It's a lot of paper.
Yeah.
Only in Green Bay could you number one find a former player in the phone book, but number two, call him up and he's like, oh yeah, come over, have a cup of coffee, I'll sign a bunch of shit for you. Like, just imagine, you know, obviously, like you said, there's no phone books anymore, but just all of us living in the Twin Cities metro picking up the phone book and it's like, oh, here's Justin Jefferson's phone number, let's give him a call and see if he'll give us an autograph.
Yeah, well, God,
he'd be so annoyed. That every child in the metro would call him, well, hey, can I come gritty at your house?
That reminds me, too, obviously, Bob Uecker passed away earlier this year, last year, the announcer for the Brewers. One thing that he did right before he died is in his neighborhood, he kind of let everyone know. He was like, hey, if you want anything signed, come over and I'll sign it for you. And then he, like, you know, kicked the bucket a week later. So even even on his last days, he was just a dude. Moving on to the Packers-Seahawks joint practice from today. Big headline to talk about were the fights. A lot of people were saying that it was like the biggest fight that they had seen during a training camp. Mostly the younger beat reporters or Kay Adams, who happened to be there today. But Zach Tom and Elton Jenkins were both kicked out of practice. It was one of those where you saw the reports that they weren't taking any more snaps, and it was like, okay, did they get kicked out, or did one of them fuck up their hands from punching someone in the helmet? Zach Tom did specify afterwards at his locker room that he was hitting them with his open hands. He's not an idiot, so at least we have that to hang our hats on.
Is that what he said? I'm not an idiot. I hit him with my open hand.
I didn't see the full quote. Yeah,
with my strong hand.
Yeah.
I mean, if they had a guardian cap on, you'd probably be a little bit better off hitting them with a closed fist.
Yeah, that is a good
point.
Yeah,
you can hit Romeo Dubs as much as you want.
Yeah, no concussion history with him whatsoever.
Well, your hands are fine. Yeah. He won't be.
Yeah. And Zach Tom was saying, too, that the reason why it happened is because they were, like, huddling up, and someone on the Seahawks was, like, still talking shit to the running back, I think, and, like, jumped in the pile, and that's when he went around and, like, took on three dudes. Tucker Kraft got in and, like, tackled someone to the ground, too, which was awesome. I don't think
Wait, so, like, a Seahawks player came into the huddle?
Yes, and there's, like, video of it. You can see the tail end of it, but you can see he was talking. Yeah.
I think the Packers are in the right on this one. If someone comes into your huddle,
mm-hmm.
like, that's like them walking into your home.
Exactly.
You can shoot them.
Exactly. But it's lawfully, you absolutely can do that. It's interesting, too, though, because it's like Zach Tom might be building a bit of this reputation for himself for maybe being more of a bad boy than he initially lets on. Because, again, he's a very soft-spoken guy. In the locker room, he's extremely boring. He doesn't really like talking, but he doesn't come off as, like, one of those grumpy guys either, like Josh Sitton maybe back in the day. And it's like, it was this. It was the first preseason game he started shit. I think last year, too, he had a personal foul for, like, a late hit or something as well. So I like that we have that going on. Elton Jenkins, too, who obviously scraps it up. He got kicked out of the Bengals practice a couple of years ago. And then Aaron Banks, if his back can ever heal up, I mean, he's just a imposing fat motherfucker, too. So I like that we have that going on our offensive line right now. Wouldn't we've been, you know, seemingly soft in the, I'd say, recent history, but it might even be a little bit longer than that.
I mean, you go back to TJ and Josh, and they would, if Rodgers was getting bullied, they would have, I loved watching TJ come in just from, like, across the screen and just, like, take out some corner that was John.
Well, I mean,
that's like one of my favorite things.
Lucas Patrick, too, more recently, I know against the Falcons, like, that was one of the ways he made a name for himself and why Rodgers loved him. And I don't know if you noticed, but did you see, like, clips from that Bengals game on Monday night with Joe Burrow playing and his offensive line being absolutely awful?
No.
Lucas Patrick was the starting right guard for them, and he's just running around in circles looking like a chicken with his head cut off. So, well...
But tough.
Yeah, but a very tough guy, and he's going to defend you. You know, he's your dog.
You do want, though, like, if you're back there, especially, like, if you're a quarterback that runs... Like, you need those guys to back you up. Because, like, it can get chippy. Like, look at, there's been some guys out there that are pretty, like, Ndamukong Suh, like, stepping on people and doing his dumb, cheap shit. It's like, you want those guys to come and defend you. Like, it's such a morale booster.
I believe that was Evan.
Evan Dietrich Smith.
He was the one that got stepped on. And I think, and Brian Robeson.
He got kicked in the nether regions.
I think that was
Rodgers got stepped on.
Okay, sorry. So I'm thinking of multiple things here too. I think TJ Lang got kicked in the nether regions by Brian Robeson from the Vikings way back in the day as well.
That actually does sound right.
So a lot of extracurricular activity going on.
So what we need with Zach Tom starting to earn this reputation, obviously Elton Jenkins has a history as well. We need them to coach up Belton about how to have these hits kind of at the within the shadow of the whistle. I saw one of the few plays I saw from the preseason game
late hit.
Was his just god awful late hit on the sideline. Like, the dude's already out of bounds. He gives him a shove in the back. It's like, if you're going to be that late and on the sideline right where the refs can see you, get your money's worth, dude.
Well, maybe that's why he's doing it. Like, he's learning from bad boy, I just got paid Zach Tom and Elton Jenkins and Banks, so he doesn't really know how to do it correctly.
Well, I'm just saying, I mean, I didn't see Zach Tom get a penalty during the Jets game for his extracurriculars, so...
Yeah, you did. Did he? Yep. They had offsetting penalties.
It was offsetting. Okay, well, it was offsetting.
Okay, well, then did he really get penalized?
That is true. So. It doesn't happen if it's offsetting. I am watching the clip right now of Brian Robeson kicking TJ Lang in the nuts. It's a pretty good clip, to be honest.
I think Robeson got kicked out of that game too, if I'm not mistaken. Really? After that, yeah, I'm pretty sure.
The ref immediately throws the flag. So
other than that, too, with the practice, Musgrave seemingly had a decent second half of training camp. He's had a couple big plays. Again, we'll see. I mean, again, it's, you know, cliche at this point almost, but it's like imagining Christian Watson, Matthew Golden, Tucker Kraft, and Luke Musgrave all out there at the same time is, you know, a pretty daunting task, I would think, for just about any defense. And then Aaron Banks, like I said, still out with a back injury. Savion Williams, too, it's been kind of goofy. You know, it's we've focused so much on the Marshawn Lloyd injury. Savion's had a weird back and forth with his, too. Again, I don't think any of these injuries are going to be that big of a deal come week one. Nate Hobbs, too, maybe. You know, he hasn't even been with the rehab group, and we're 2 weeks out of week one, so hopefully there's some type of movement there, or else, I mean, God, we... Melton might actually get some snaps week one at corner, which we wouldn't want. But other than that, we're playing the Seahawks Saturday at 3 p.m. You guys got anything else on that shit? Huh? No? Ready for the 53-man roster?
Are we doing the 53? Let's do that.
All right. We're on.
I'm assuming we're not playing any starters against Seattle on Saturday.
I don't know. The Matt.
Oh, I would like a series.
Matt said the plan over a week ago before the Colts game that the plan was no starters against the Colts, and then for against the Seahawks, the starters would play a series. But that was also before Jordan Love had his hand injury. So I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, Josh Jacobs doesn't play. You know, they're not going to have any of the top wideouts out there. Matthew Golden, he like suited up for the game on Saturday, but didn't actually snap. So I think it'll be, you know, a whole lot of nothing for that last preseason game.
It would be nice to see the ones out there. If Jordan Love's not out there, it's Malik instead. Like, that would still be nice to see for a series.
I
almost like superstitious about it. It's like, because how often do these Aaron Rodgers Packers teams just like he didn't want to play, and so they wouldn't, and then they would just come out cold for like 2 weeks.
But is Romeo Doubs playing four snaps with Malik Willis against the Seahawks?
Exactly.
That's why I said it's like it's almost like superstitious for me. Like, it's not. Wow. I get that it probably doesn't do anything, but at the same time, I'm like, it would be nice to have the line out there.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm fine with, especially with like the offensive line right now. Like, there's no even real reason to try to get chemistry together, because we're probably going to be rotating on the left side anyways, and Aaron Banks is probably still banged up. So I don't think there's much to get out of it. Maybe a little bit with the defense. The other thing that kind of convinced me as well is last year the Eagles didn't play like any of their starters really at all during preseason, and I don't know if you'd know, but they did end up winning the Super Bowl. So
the Eagles, Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay.
So we'll see. Whatever. It's preseason. At this point, I just want to be healthy for week one. But
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
53-man roster predictions. We're going to run through this here. I'm just going to read off what I have for each one of these position groups. If you guys have something to push back, obviously speak up and we'll just talk through it.
Should we start with who your IR and PUP assumptions are?
No,
just
we'll
get that out of the way.
Nope, we're going to go through we're going to go through all the position groups, and for each one of those.
No, no, thank you.
No, that's fucking dumb. That's stupid as hell. When we get to each one of these individually for the position group, we'll say IR.
That's not what I wrote down. We're not doing that.
You fucking idiot. Okay, so starting top to bottom, offense and then defense, yada, yada. Quarterback, pretty easy. Jordan Love, Malik Willis. Obviously cutting Clifford and Elgersma. Todd gave me the face. it might be a little interesting, and by interesting, I mean for us idiots who care too much about this football team, but who will the practice squad quarterback be? It's one of those where I think Clifford has kind of made his bacon by being, you know, a good quarterback in the classroom with the offense. You know, he's like a 5-year college player at Penn State. I think he just really helps with that going into the week every week. And it's one of those where it's like, well, after Malik Willis has been here for a full year now, and Willis hasn't really been known as being the most, how do I put this, smart guy, maybe
cerebral.
That is the word I had in my brain, and then it went away, and I'm like, I'm going to screw up one of the consonants here, so I'm just going to move on. But yes, I would agree with that. So, because Elgersma does have more of the traits you look for in a quarterback, and he's really raw. I mean, he comes from the Canadian Football League, which has different rules. They have a different size field. Matt even talked about that last week, how he's still getting used to the dimensions of the field. Again, he looked fine on Saturday. So, again, from a traits aspect, for potential, I think he's better. I don't know. I still think we'll probably just go with Clifford, just because that's kind of what we did last year, too, with the draft pick who we cut, who's with Tampa's practice squad now. God, I don't remember his
Michael
name.
Michael Pratt.
Yep, Michael Pratt, who, again, kind of had a big arm but didn't show enough in preseason. So that's what I think. I wouldn't be surprised if we went with Elgersma, but I think we'll probably just go with Clifford for another year on the practice squad.
Is there a universe where Malik Willis gets traded?
No. I mean, there is, but no.
I feel like he's good. Like, I feel like somebody would want him.
I don't think he's shown enough in the preseason. Like, he came in and played really well in two games.
Not the preseason, but in the games last year.
Well, but LaFleur also very heavily catered the offense to his strengths with a lot of reads. And we also played two of the worst teams in the league in those two games, in the Colts and the Titans. So I don't know how much success he would have in an extended stint as a starting quarterback.
I'm just imagining him in like a Baltimore offense and being like, I don't know, if he seems like he would fit in that scheme pretty well.
But it's probably. Also like, but who would trade for him, and what are you going to get? Like, at most, I think you get a 4th round pick, and I don't think that's worth it, especially with
really?
If Jordan Love goes down. Yeah, and you got to think of it too. How many backup quarterbacks have been traded for much of anything in recent memory? I always go back to like Matt Flynn after his big year with us, and there was all the talk for, oh, we should franchise tag him and then trade him. Well, we didn't. He signs with the Seahawks, and then he never has much a career after that anyway. So I think we'll see. I think his best bet is just going to be signing on with the team next year and competing like Daniel Jones did with the Colts this year. I just don't think there's that much value in trading him.
I heard Daniel Jones is the starter.
Yeah.
Yep.
Love it.
Yeah, I mean, the Colts, it's just, it's like, what's the point of even?
Well, who was their backup 2 years ago that wound up playing a bunch of games for?
Jim Sorge.
That's not who it was.
I don't know. I don't think we have to talk about the Colts.
Brissett.
Jacoby. Was that
he was actually good. Jacoby Brissett is actually good.
Jacoby's like the perfect backup quarterback. I don't know if he's still in the league, but like with the Patriots too, he's been a perfect backup quarterback.
I feel like you could compare him a little bit to Malik, like run and throw. Like, isn't the best like passer, but like
Malik
can get it done with his feet.
Yeah, Malik's like a one read or all run quarterback.
I'll just put it this way.
Rude.
I feel a hell of a lot better about Malik Willis coming in for one game in relief of Jordan Love than I do Sean Clifford.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think we need to. If someone offered like a 2nd round pick, I'd do it, but that's not going to happen.
Right.
Again, we learned last year how valuable Willis was. And again, like you see what that Badgett got to for the backup for the Bears, where he's getting $5 million per year. I'm just like, I don't even want to spend that money for a backup quarterback.
That's
perfect for what we have right now.
That's insane to me.
I mean, that's just what backup quarterbacks go for. I mean, if you look up like Jameis Winston, too, I think he probably got something like that for the Giants.
I mean, Winston at least had a starting pedigree.
Yeah, true, I suppose. But I don't know. I mean, look at fucking, who's the Chase Daniels? I mean, he hardly played and he made like $60, $80 million in his career. So
that dude, that's the ultimate. Chase Daniels is the dude. like clipboard god.
I hate Diana Rossini and I don't like him because they have a pipe, whatever. I talk too much about shit that I hate. Running back. Moving on to running back. I have Josh Jacobs, Emmanuel Wilson, and Chris Brooks all making the roster. Again, Marshawn Lloyd, I assume, is going to go on IR just to be safe. We will cut Ibanaconda and Amar Johnson, both who have been pretty decent. They've had their flashes during training camp, but I assume we'll probably stash one or two of those guys on the practice squad. I don't think there's anything crazy here. Again, Wilson played pretty well on Saturday. He's steady. You know, he's the good backup runner, and then you have the good utility guy with Chris Brooks. So I just think that's probably where we're going to go.
This feels easy, but if Marshawn Lloyd's healthy, now who's gone? Is it Chris or Emmanuel? I think Emmanuel.
Agreed.
I don't know.
I think if Marshawn Lloyd's healthy, Emmanuel gets cut.
I think we would carry four and then maybe cut someone like Ben Sims just because they're both kind of that utility,
okay,
whatever type players.
That's fair. Yeah.
Moving on to wideout. Again, this shouldn't be, it just comes down to Malik Heath and Mecole Hardman, but obviously Golden, Reed, Dobbs, Wicks, Savion, as long as he can stay healthy and we don't put him on the IR or something. And again, I do have Heath making the roster. Watson will stay on the PUP. Again, Hardman, I mean, and the thing to look at with some of these guys who are the borderline cut candidates here, the vested veterans like Hartman, who are beyond their rookie years for the most part, or they've been in the league for over 4 years. If they are on your week one roster, their entire contract is guaranteed. So he and all those guys like that we have on this team, it's $1.17 million. So I just don't think he brings anything to this team that we don't already have. You know, when we signed him, it was before we drafted guys like Matthew Golden and Savion Williams, who bring the speed. I think Christian Watson also progressing pretty well with his injury and being back probably like week after our bye week. I think that speed that Hartman brings just isn't that important. And again, he hasn't really flashed on special teams. So I think just moving on from him, keep Heath. He can block. He showed up fine in the second preseason game. Again, I wouldn't be shocked if both of them got cut or I'm wrong here, but that's just what I think we're going to do.
You could definitely cut both of them, but yeah, I would agree Malik over Mecole.
Two questions. First, historically under LaFleur, how many wide receivers have we usually kept? And second, is Savion Williams even close to returning, or is it
possible that he ends up on IR? I think he's close to returning, because with him, it's like it'll be practice on, two practices off, practice on, two practices off.
Okay. Well, then I will. That was one that I was kind of going back and forth, like, do I think he goes on IR? Because I haven't heard a lot about him, but I guess given that, then I would assume he makes the roster. On my mock 53, I also had six receivers with Williams and Heath. Is that generally what we keep under LaFleur?
Last year we kept six. It was usually five or six, and we kept six. There's been times during the year, too, where once the roster, you know, midway through, we've gone up to like seven or eight receivers even.
Okay. I was going to say, under McCarthy, I feel like it was always a discussion of six versus seven.
Right. And then for the practice squad, I don't think a guy like Hardman would be back on there, but I do think that Isaiah Nair and Cornelius Johnson are the two guys that will probably get snuck on there. Nair is a 9.97 RAS, and Cornelius is 9.9. So again, they're just RAS gods. That's what this team always looks for at that position. So we'll see. And I wouldn't be shocked if one of them gets scooped up for a different practice squad too, just because there was a lot of talk with Nair with the Niners training camp and a lot of the beat reporters. It seems like once a practice, he has some type of big catch. So we'll see. Tight end.
Both of those dudes are big. 6'3 for Johnson and 6'4 for Nair. So kind of a body type that we don't really have outside Nair's of Heath 6'4"? That's healthy. Yeah.
Jeez. What's his? Is he super fast?
He's got that RAS. I would assume it's at least a 4'4. 4'3, 7. I don't know.
Christian Watson replacement.
At tight end, again, we talked about it. I do think, you know, again, Fitzpatrick jumped over Sims, but Kraft, Musgrave, Fitzpatrick, and Ben Sims just makes sense. There's that other tight end that it's got a couple looks. There was Lumpkin, you know, I think he got...
Messiah Swinson.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good name. It's a strong name.
We had Josiah the Messiah back in the day at tight end. Now we have the actual Messiah. But again, I think that makes sense. Maybe we throw one of those other tight ends on the practice squad. But I think most agree that it's going to be those four tight ends.
Feels like you could keep three also. If you needed to cut to keep someone else, you could get away with three.
Yeah. Again, it's one of those where I think Fitzpatrick and Sims, it's gone back and forth a little bit, but probably four just because both of those guys do help out on special teams as well. And then the other thing with that too, with like the ends, with Sorrell being out potentially at the beginning of the year, you know, those kind of big bodies would replace where he was on special teams being the younger guy too. Offensive line, this is maybe more of the, sticking point, one of the tougher pinch points on this roster cut down. I have 9, which is pretty light. In 2021 or 22, we kept 9, but we usually keep 10 or 11. But it's one of those two. Someone else said it as well. But it's one of those where it's like, you know, we complain about Royce Newman, but Royce Newman wouldn't be a terrible 10th offensive lineman to have on a roster like this. Either way, Jordan Morgan, Walker, Banks, Elton. I do have Monk. He's had a pretty terrible training camp, but I do still think he sneaks on for another year. Sean Ryan, Anthony Belton, Zach Tom. And then for that 9th spot, I mean, it comes down to Telfer, Letitius Smith, or a waiver claim. Most people have Telfer making it. I do think we're going to claim someone on waivers for the offensive line and interior offensive lineman after cutdown. But I think on the initial roster, and I haven't seen many people say this, but I think it's going to be that Letitius Smith, just because he's not like an undrafted rookie. This is his third year in the league. He's played in like 20-some games in the NFL at guard. Again, that's that spot where we're pretty thin on the offensive line. We have a lot of guys that have tackle ability. Again, that's what Telfer is too. So I just think we value that guard position, a little bit more experience. Again, I still think he'll eventually get cut for a waiver claim, but that's what I have for the offensive line. And it's cutting Donovan Jennings. He's the other one that people is kind of right.
I was
going to
say, I thought maybe I missed that. Were you saying he's in or out?
I'm saying he's out, practice squad. He was a practice squad guy last year, undrafted guy. There was some hopes with him, I think, early on of OTAs. He had a couple snaps with the ones, but in all his game tape, he's looked like shit. So you can throw him on the practice squad again. It's just that experience that you get from Smith that I think they're going to value over whatever type of ceiling that fucking Donovan Jennings has.
And then was Jennings also
and then we'll IR
snaps?
John Williams, the draft pick, the 7th round draft pick. Sorry.
Was Jennings taking snaps at center too, or am I mixing him up with someone else?
Trey Hill, I thought, was the 3rd string center.
Yeah, whoever the 3rd string center was terrible because he kept...
God, for some reason I thought it was that Jennings was also playing center, but I must be wrong.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it with those 3rd string guys. But yeah, Billy, what did you have on the back end there?
So I was debating between Smith and Jennings, and ultimately I ended up with just 9. So I had both Jennings and Smith getting cut.
Okay. So who did you have making it then? Telfert?
Yeah, Telfert was my last one.
Yeah, okay. And then again, just another thing to mention, we'll probably talk about it with the season preview next week, but it sure feels like it's going to be Walker versus Morgan, and they're just going to be rotating, probably leaning heavy on Walker just because Morgan's going to have to be that reserve guard, especially with Aaron Banks back the way it's been. You almost have to expect him to have to step in at some time early in the season. That is the offense. Moving on to the defense. The defensive line. I have 5 defensive linemen. I have Kenny Clark. I have Wyatt. I have Brooks. I do have Colby Wooden. And I do have the draft pick Brinson making it, cutting Nazir Stackhouse. I don't think He's been washed out a couple times on these plays. You know, you've seen it on Twitter a few times. Like, he's a big fucker, and he got washed out and, like, pushed into Hopper. So it's just one of those things. I don't know if he has that athletic prowess that another team would want to scoop him up. Again, being an undrafted guy, I don't think he's ready right now. You know, we had a guy like Jonathan Ford for a few years, the seventh round pick out of Miami, who never played an actual snap for the Packers. He feels kind of similar to that right now. He's just a guy I'd stash on the practice squad. You know, there's just a couple other guys on the offense and defense where I'd rather sneak on than someone like... I feel like you can always pick up some fat fuck and throw him on and have him be your sixth defensive lineman.
Wow, this is rude.
True. Howard Green. We remember Howard Green back in the day.
I mean, Stackhouse is, at this point, is basically just a run stuffer.
Right.
And I feel like it's tough to keep six interior defensive linemen because they don't really play on special teams.
Right, exactly.
And if we're playing a 4-3, I mean, how deep do we expect our rotation to go? Like, even Brinson, realistically, is probably a healthy scratch most weeks.
Yeah, and he has a bit more versatility than Stackhouse do. And even if Stackhouse is on your practice squad, and we've seen it in the past, depending on who we're going up against, you know, maybe you call him up if you're going up against the Eagles or the Lions, a more run-heavy team. So, you know, you still get the 3 or 4 game day call-ups. So sneak him on there, whatever, move on, get on with our lives.
Plus, Brinson... Sorry, go ahead, Todd.
I was just going to say, I think, too, with Colby Wooden playing seemingly so much better, it makes more sense to keep... And I don't think you walk away. Goody's not going to cut Brinson. I think I look at that as, like, Goody's not cutting him. So, yeah, Nazir Stackhouse is kind of just, like, the odd man out of that room.
He's gone away from it in recent years a little bit, but I believe, like, his first 5 or 6 drafts with Goody, which were his worst ones, they all, if you were a draft pick, you were essentially guaranteed to make it. And these last couple of years...
Again, he sticks with his guys.
Yeah, we saw it with, like, the quarterback. We saw it with with Kalen King. Being a draft pick isn't as important as it was in the past, but I still think Brinson's going to be the guy.
That's what I was going to say, is even if Goody doesn't necessarily keep draft picks as often as he once did, Brinson was still a sixth rounder, right? And Stackhouse was undrafted, so I feel like that means a little something. If it was a seventh rounder, maybe a little less, but yeah. I feel like a sixth rounder, a little more likely.
Moving on to inside linebacker. This is probably the toughest one to figure out overall.
Defensive end.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, good point. I skipped over him. I've done that in the past. Okay, I have 5 of the defensive ends.
Yeah, fuck
as
those
well.
Ends.
I have Gary, LVN, JJ, Britton Cox, and I do have Mosby making the initial one, just because I'm assuming Sorrell is going to be thrown on the IR to start the year.
Sure.
And PUP for Colin Oliver, the fifth rounder edge guy. And God, that's going to be so tough. Again, I know we've talked about it, but he's not, you know, training camp's over. Today was the last day of practice. He's not going to play on Saturday, and then it'll be the ramp up period. So it's a guy who hasn't taken, you know, he had the rookie orientation in OTAs where he was part of a couple practices, and then it's going to be he's out for 4 weeks, and then he'll have like 21 days to practice with the team before being elevated to the 53-man roster or being put on the IR for the year. That's a lot.
You're saying that's what the PUP is, 21?
The PUP is you're out 4 weeks, and then you have 21 days for the team to decide if they'll move you onto the 53-man roster, cut you, or put you on the IR.
Okay.
So that's the sticky part here again. We're talking about all these guys, and they've been practicing for a month. They had the mini camp as well. This guy hasn't had any of it, and he's more of a technician, you know, playing edge, and it's a completely different animal when you're going up against right and left tackles at the NFL level rather than, you know, college. So very, very tough.
Yeah, they're better athletes. But
yeah, just a little bit. Very, very tough rookie year to ask much of him just for, again, getting banged up like this.
I have a question on how many, like, because there's the DFR list for the IR, designated for return.
Yeah.
How many of those spots are there? Because there's a handful that I feel like we could put on, but I don't even know how many spots there are.
So I for this is going to be loosely correct information I give you right now. So okay. Before the season starts, I think you get two of them. So we had Glover or whoever who got banged up. He got put on IR, not designated to return. Okay. They did change it recently, I believe, where in the past you'd have to put someone on your 53 and then IR them after. I think they changed that last year. You no longer have to do that. In season, once you have your initial 53, I think you're allowed, I want to say, 6 or 8 guys that could come back from IR.
I just pulled it up.
Yeah? It says 8 during the regular season.
Yeah, okay. So I was right. Okay.
And 10 in the postseason, right?
Yes, 2 additional in the postseason.
Oh, I was going to say you get 10 in the entire post. That's more than you had during the
regular. Wait, so what does that mean? Does that mean you can bring guys off the IR if you make it? You can bring 2 guys off IR in the postseason?
Yes.
So you can just, if you make it there, then you could pull. So like, but it's hypothetically, still guys Christian Watson's on the IR.
But you have to designate
year,
them. When you put them on the IR, you have to designate them to return when you do it. From the initial 53/the PUP.
But then the postseason part makes it weird, because then you don't know if you're going to make the postseason.
Well, it's like if you throw someone on the IR week 16, you designate him to return, he would be one of the 2 added ones in the postseason that you could bring back.
So you DFR him in week 16 and bring him back in the wild card.
Well, it would have been like
the divisional.
It could have been like Aaron Rodgers tearing his Achilles tendon in week 1 for the Jets. They could have put him on IR and said designated to return if we make the playoffs.
Sure. We'll go with that.
Interesting.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't think we have anything out.
I just didn't realize it was that many spots. That's more spots than I thought we would have had.
It's so much better because, like, I remember back in like the early 2010s, where if you were on IR, you're out forever, and it was just such a stupid rule because there were so many, you know, borderline young guys, talent wise, that would be out for a month, and it's like you'd have to IR them for the year just because you needed that roster spot.
Right. So you DFR Baron Sorrell.
You put Sorrell is going to go on the IR. He would be out for the first 4 weeks of the season.
Right. Designated for return.
Designated
for 4 weeks.
Yes. Designated to return. He would then
play for 2 weeks.
Practice for 3 weeks.
3 weeks.
We need to move on.
I think this is great information.
I think people are listening to this and they're like, reading a spec book right now?
Nope. I think this is very important. I think we all need to understand the rules.
I agree.
We're all learning together as a team.
It's incredibly important. Just like being...
We'll move on. Yeah. That's fine. It's fine.
The last thing I was going to say on the defensive ends is... I'm bummed that Sorrell and Oliver were both hurt because I feel like that if they were healthy, the competition between them, Mosby, Cox, even JJ would have been super interesting to watch.
Yeah, JJ came on strong late. And Mosby could throw out, but yeah, it would probably be between JJ and Cox for who would make it. And it again, that might have been a spot where you trade away a guy like JJ just because edge rushers are tough to find.
I feel like you could move on from Mosby pretty easily too. Like I don't.
Right. Yes, I'm assuming Mosby would be gone.
You think he'll be gone when?
Yes.
When Sorrell is ready.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Going into camp, I thought that Enagbare might be a sneaky roster spot
casualty.
Casualty. Yes, was the word I was looking for. But
I feel that too.
Good to see him get some run here, get some production.
I mean, he outsnapped freaking LVN last year. It's just, it'll be interesting to see. Inside linebacker, Cooper, Quay, McDuffie, Hopper. After that, I mean, it's, do you keep 4? Do you keep 5? I do have us keeping 5. I had Welch in there. I took him out and I went with Simmons. It's just, Simmons is still running. I know. I don't like it. It's very... I hope the narrative with it is fun if you're a loser like me, because you go back to last year and Goody he doesn't say shit like this because I think Wilde asked him, like, what does a guy like Christian Welch have to do to make this team? You know, he had the pick 6 or whatever. He just played so well in the preseason on defense, and he's an absolute demon on special teams. And Goody said something along the lines where he deserves to make a 53-man roster, but we just couldn't do it with this team. A year later now, Welch, again, he's looking good on special teams. He's better on defense, just a little bit more steady. Simmons just makes mistakes. But at the same time, Simmons has been running with the ones as a gunner, which means something, at least to the team, to the coaching staff. But again, there's been times in the past where they don't agree on things either. And maybe it's just the coaching staff kind of puffing out their chest saying like, hey, we do want this guy. We're going to play him at this position. Hopefully Goody, you know, keeps him on. Because, you know, there's been guys in the past, like people always get on fucking Rodgers about Jake Kumerow. But if it was Kumerow versus Malik Taylor, if it was up to that coaching staff, not just Rodgers, Kumerow would have been on that team. But Goody and going with, you know,
Super Bowl,
going with the potential, went with Malik Taylor. So there could be differences there. You know, if it was up to me, I'd just keep Welch because I'd feel he's still a good special teamer and you feel a little bit better about him on defense. Simmons, obviously the raw athlete, yada, yada, yada. But we'll see. It seems like Rich has got more of a pull with the roster than someone like Matt does with offensive guys. So that's why I think Simmons is going to beat out Welch for that last spot.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Who do you think Daddy wants? And Daddy is Rich Bisaccia because he's the puppet master back there pulling all the strings. Like, but I wants Isaiah Simmons. Like, Isaiah running with as many special teams units as he is feels like that's Rich's boy. And like Christian Welch is just like, he came along for the ride and he's going to be gone again. I don't know. That's just like the feeling that I get. Like Rich is going to make his case and he's going to win.
I'm going to disagree actually. So I had Welch making it over Simmons. And I think the reason Simmons is getting so much run is in the preseason on special teams. And then on defense, like he's led the team in tackles both of the first two preseason games. I think it's because they want to give him every single opportunity possible to give him a chance to make the team. But I just don't think he's done enough to do so. Like, he looks great in his underwear, but then you put him out there in pads, and he just looks lost on defense. Mm-hmm. And if Cooper or Walker or McDuffie or whoever gets hurt, and Simmons is the first guy in off the bench, like, you feel okay with him in run support, but he is going to get abused in coverage.
And is he a guy you could just blitz every time?
I mean, no, because they would theoretically protect with six or seven.
He's an athlete.
Yes.
Like, you just send him.
Yeah.
We can't. There's nothing can do with this guy. Just send him.
Yeah. I also don't like that he's number 28. That's ugly.
It is ugly.
Matthew Golden's one thing. Simmons, I'm like, yeah.
Matthew Golden's is worse. 22 overall.
I am getting more used to it. I should hate it more.
Good. Because he's so good, that's why.
No, yes, 28 on a linebacker is terrible.
If he was mediocre, you'd be like, this is the dumbest number.
28 on a linebacker is like an outfielder in spring training in Major League Baseball being number 70. That dude's getting cut with a number like 70.
Yeah.
I think that sounds cool as a non-baseball watcher.
Like, I think the symmetry of the 22 works better for a receiver than the blocky low number of 28 for an inside linebacker.
22 is like the most running back number ever, though.
I don't disagree with you, but I mean, we're it's two bad things we're going back and forth on here.
Which one's worse?
I guess not to jump back, but I did like what you said, Billy, about like getting him snaps to see what he's capable of, because that's the other thing too, like paying attention, like fantasy football and dynasty fantasy football, where, you know, there's teams like the Jets and it's like, oh, it's going to be a running back by committee, or you're looking at snaps. It's like, nobody knows if these things are, if guys are getting snaps, one, because, hey, we want you to get ready for the regular season, we believe in you, or we want to see what
they want to cut you.
Well, or they want to see what you look like with like the twos instead of the threes or the ones, and you just get more snaps so that they get more tape on you, whatever. So it's just, again, you never really know. I don't know, toughest one. It's like, I'm like 51-49 Simmons. Like, it is as close as it could be between the two. Moving on to the corners, another tough spot. Nixon, Hobbs, Valentine, Bo Melton. I do have Kalen King making it. Tom Silverstein, again, last week we talked about how he had glowing things to say. He said Kalen King was like a lock once again to make this roster, and how he is like the backup slot now, especially with Hobbs being out and them having to rotate some of those corners. Like, he's been playing some first team snaps for the nickelback. So then it comes down to Kamal Hayden, Corey Ballantyne, and Micah Robinson. It's tough. All these guys have flashed at different moments. I went back to like old school Goody, and I have Micah Robinson making the team. He just has like that length that the other guys don't really bring. Kamal Hayden does too. But I just think, again, I think Ty goes to the draft pick with him. You know, you remember Corey Carrington Valentine. He was a seventh-round pick, too. Maybe Goody just wants to lean on his initial, opinion of these guys. With Valentine, I mean, I think both of those guys potentially could be back on the practice squad. But with Valentine, it's like, if you didn't re-sign him after the season, I don't know if he's done enough to impress you to make it over a draft pick now. So, again, I wouldn't be surprised if any of those last three between Robinson, Hayden, and Ballantyne make it, but I'm going with the draft pick in Robinson.
I spent a lot of time looking for the nail in the coffin for Bo Melton, just like throughout the offseason, like, he switched position, he's done. And I was like, fuck.
Huber.
They brought in Corey Ballantyne. Yeah. He's done. Yeah. And he won't go away. And so I agree. I think it's Nixon, Hobbs, Valentine, Melton, and Kalen King. I think that's where we end up.
You did say Robinson too.
I did not say
Robinson. I think you said five, Todd.
You said five then. Because I have Nixon, Hobbs, Valentine, Bo Melton, Kalen King is five, and then
I guess
Mike
that
Robinson.
Would leave Robinson, I guess.
Which?
Right? Because I had King. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
You go with five. Yeah. I'll just throw this in there too. Bill Huber, he put out like percentages for like locks. He had Bo Melton as a lock. Like, all the beat reporters are all saying Bo Melton is a lock, which is just absurd for
it feels this day
and
odd.
Age. Yes. I'm like, are we having the wool pulled over our eyes? Like, is the team. Okay, he might be a guy too. He is probably the best example for this team because we know
he's Jared Bush.
We know the coaching staff loves Bo Melton, but Goody, we have no idea what he thinks about Bo. I'm sure he's impressed with the switch, but that doesn't mean he's guaranteed to make the 53.
I had Corey Ballantyne as my last man in, and the reason for that is. Yes, we cut him at the end of the season, but that was before the draft. Maybe we thought we'd draft a corner higher than we did. We didn't end up doing that. And then there's a reason we brought him back in the middle of training camp just a couple of weeks ago. And I think it's because, Haddon and Robinson have both flashed a little bit. I don't think they've been consistent enough. They're both, seventh round picks? So chances are we'll be able to get one or both back on the practice squad if we want to. And Ballantyne, having played under Halfley last year, just has that much more familiarity with the system. And I feel like he's a little bit of a security blanket on the fringe depth on the team, that if you need to bring in one of the last dudes on the bench, would you feel better about a seventh round pick getting his first NFL action or Corey Ballantyne that's been around for a few years?
The one thing that I do go back to, and I don't know how many people will remember this. I wish I had the schedule right in front of me from last year. But Ballantyne did come in early in the season after someone got banged up, probably Jair, and he got burnt. I think I want to say it was the Jaguars. Maybe the Jaguars or the Titans. It was early last year. He got burnt, he got put on the bench, and I don't know if he had any more snaps on defense the rest of the year. He didn't save the season, but guys like him and Rudy Ford were huge to plug and play in like 2022, 2023 under fucking Joe Barry. But I don't know if he has the same history with Jeff Halfley that he had with Joe Barry. So that's the one thing that kept Ballantyne off the roster for me.
Like I said, I still feel like we brought him back for a reason.
Yeah. I wouldn't be shocked either which way if we keep five or, you know, any of those last three are the sixth corner to make the team. Safety, I don't think there's anything to talk about here. X, Evans, Bullard, Oladapo, and Dallin Leavitt. Signed, sealed, delivered. Maybe Dallin Leavitt.
Dallin Leavitt?
Oh, what's his name?
Zane Anderson.
Who's Dallin Leavitt?
He's the dude that he got thrown out of a game or something, yes. Like in his very first action. Wait, you're putting him on the team?
I was so confused for a second.
That is so funny. Yes, you're right. Well, it's because it was the Indiana Jones, piece, the little idol switched, because it was like Dallin Leavitt was Rich's right-hand man, and it's like, okay, who's the white safety that's going to be Rich's special teams ace?
Zane Anderson.
And they switched the two. So that's why, like, if you had a week from now, if I had to come up with, you know, who got kicked out of a Packer game in 2023 and got cut the next day, I would not come up with the name. But for whatever reason, I was able to type it, trying to think of Zane Anderson here.
Pretty good.
So yes, Zane Anderson.
Do you think there's a world where Catan doesn't make the roster?
I was surprised on Bill Huber's. He had him as, like, he had a bunch of different tiers, and he gave him, like, a 60 and 70% chance to make it, which was lower than I thought, because he seems like a guarantee to me, because he was pretty solid. I mean, he was essentially playing over Bullard last year at the tail end of the season, and he was, like, the fifth or
sixth. I feel like
pick.
His fit is weird, though, because, like, where does he fit into the defense?
He's a safety.
He's like a run. He's like a box safety, though.
Yeah.
Like, you wouldn't. He's not a deep safety. And I feel like that's where we need help as deep. Like, as Bullard's not a deep safety either.
Yeah. True.
And Bullard's a slot. Like, how I see Bullard is almost a. He's almost not a safety.
But that's what's been interesting the last week of training camp is Bullard's played a lot of snaps while X has been out. He did return to practice this week. But Bullard has had a lot of snaps as a true safety, and that's how Kalen King has had these snaps as the nickel and slot. Yeah.
Yeah.
But again, I don't think there's anything much to talk about there. Again, if Zane / Dallin Leavitt gets cut, I guess we know for sure Dallin Leavitt's getting cut.
I was going to say that's the one guarantee I have is Dallin Leavitt is not making the roster.
Could you imagine he'd be like, claim him. I doubt he's on a team, but all of a sudden we were, you know what? We were wrong. It was fine that you punched that guy. You could come back. Yeah. Todd?
Matty O?
Matt Orzich?
How do you feel about Matt Orzich?
I had to, he's for whatever reason, I always forget his name. Like Steve Wirtle, I remember. Obviously, Brett Goud, J.J. Jensen, who we traded away for a conditional seventh-round pick in 2011.
Taper Pepper,
who might still be in the league.
I think he's with the Niners. You say
Taper or Tabor?
Tabor, I think.
Tabor.
It is a weird. It's a weird name. And then Ivan, who was
Tabor?
Who was our draft pick? Well, I remember him.
Oh, God. I don't remember that.
Because he sucked. He was the one who started me off for hating the long snappers. Because, again, people make fun of Aaron Rodgers for mentioning, you know, Brett Goud and that one press conference when he went scorched earth. But he was right. It took us, like, fucking until Matt Orzich to find a decent long snapper. Steve Wirtle. I still remember fucking Steve Wirtle. He was the long snapper for the Niners playoff game.
Who was the one that we cut that then went on to be super successful for the Panthers?
It's all of them. It's JJ Jensen is who you're thinking of, but Pepper
Jensen.
Too. Okay. He's been in the league forever, and there's one other one too that I can't remember. But yeah, the long snappers that we cut are like the good ones.
They're the good ones.
I'm sure that the kid we cut from the Badgers last year, he'd probably be like an All Pro center or a long snapper at this point too. But yeah,
All Pro.
Obviously,
do they have All Pro long snappers?
That's a good. I don't think
they don't.
They don't. They should.
It's a trick question. They do not.
It's Hall of Fame long snapper.
poor guys. Like they're an actual specialist, and they're just completely
as special. Disregarded. Yes, as specialized as you can be.
I was going to say people always say punters are people too, or kickers are people too. Long snappers are people too. There should be an All Pro team for a long snapper.
And they get the worst Madden ratings. They're like 10 on the mat because they're
and they're always
they don't block people, but like
they've never created that player in Madden 2. It is that right. out of the box. Like no, the shoulder pads always look like shit.
I mean, I haven't played Madden in about 15 years, but yeah, on fair. Those Maddens, it was just like, oh yeah,
TJ Lang can snap
Scott
it.
Scott Wells, he's the long snapper too.
Exactly.
TJ Lang, he's a 98 long snapper. The Packers just don't realize perfect. It.
When I think of long snappers in Madden, I imagine mostly the stance of just a player when like you take your thumbs off the analog and they just like half hunch over. Like that is what the long snapper is in all those Madden games.
I wonder what like NFL linemen think like when they're playing Madden and then it's like, oh, I'm TJ Lang. I'm the long. They're like, I can't fucking long snap. Like, I have no fucking clue how to do that.
But I guess, we should say their names. Fucking Orzich. Fucking Whelan. Whelan's the fucking Manus. Awesome. Whelan. Speaking of all pro, well, there's so many great punters
Whelan
now, too. The punt god who got all his charges dropped for the Bills. He's an animal, too. He booms it. But Orzich. Yeah, we'll have Whelan and Dealin.
Daniel Whelan.
Whelan and Dealin, and then McManus, obviously making it. McNamee or McNaught, whatever the fuck his name is, he's going to be the international player, even though McNamee. He's a bad kicker. He missed an extra point and a kick in this one, so I assume, unless we bring back the other...
Alex Hale. I was going to say, isn't Hale hurt, and that's why we brought in McNamee?
Yes, he hurt his eye.
Is Hale
like
international as well?
Yes, they were both international players. I think he's like Canadian or something, so it's kind of bullshit.
I thought he was Australian.
It might be that, but I thought there was
you
some...
You can't pick a Canadian to be your... Because then we just keep Elgersma.
I could be thinking that
he's Australian.
Okay, I'm thinking he did play college football, though. That was kind of the bullshit that they got around with him. Because usually
Oklahoma
those guys...
Oklahoma State, yes.
Yeah, usually those guys...
It should
have
to be,
experience.
Like, outside of your continent. Can't pick a Canadian to come. Well, just, like, make the three-hour drive across the border.
Well, they did, at least in this instance. And did you see, like, McManus... the joint practice against the Jets or one of these practices. No, it was, who did we play? The Colts. Joint practice with the Colts. He made like a 70-yarder, but it was 100% like with the wind. The other thing too, like Matt LaFleur, he's, you know, trying to run a tight ship and all this shit, you know, making him run laps. And then on Tuesday this week, McManus took the day off and dressed as a ref for practice. Did you guys see that?
Yeah.
What? He dressed as a ref?
He literally dressed as
a... He
was at practice, dressed as a ref, and he literally, like, was calling... He called, like, defensive pass interference on Romeo Doubs on... Like, he was legitimately out there throwing flags and shit, so... I don't know.
Is that the best job in the NFL? Is that better than backup quarterback? You just go kick the ball a couple times?
Kicker?
Yeah. And you get to take whatever day off in the week.
Yeah, I guess
I'm just like
kicker's probably.
Is that the new best job? Because what do they make?
Well, the potential to be, you know, like Blair Walsh. You have the potential to be Blair Walsh, which isn't good. Or other Gary Anderson was also a good kicker too. It might be punter, but then with punter, you always think of like how much it would suck to get a punt really blocked when you're. Like, imagine just kicking the shit out of a football and some big old athlete just puts all their weight right on your foot and it just snaps in half. Mine would snap in half.
It is. It's long snapper. That's the best job.
Yeah. I mean, are we putting price point? Is this a variable?
They don't make a lot of money, but they make way more money than us.
Right.
And nobody can line up in front of you. So you don't really have to worry about getting hit.
And you get to go tackle people.
Yeah.
And if you miss, who cares? You're the long snapper.
Yeah.
Right? It's like you get to be on TV.
I mean, it could
except
be like...
the trouble is you have one bad snap as a long snapper. Everybody wants you cut immediately.
Fair. It's like being the goalie in hockey.
Yeah.
It's like,
I'd almost
let a couple in.
I'd almost argue like nose tackle too, as long as you have that build. Well, just because it's like, okay, run.
Because you get to eat.
Well, you get to eat. You just run forward. Your job's pretty simple. And you can get paid a shit ton too.
I don't know.
You know, the
people run
so much more money
all the time versus being a long snapper. You just throw the ball backwards and then you.
Yeah, but I don't know. But it's like a tenth of the pay. Potential.
It's still backup quarterback because they make $10 million to sit on the sidelines and run the scout team
Very true.
All week. That's what it is.
With that, that is the episode. God, we had a nice little couple of sidetracks there this week. Everyone's favorite part, if you could please leave a 5-star review on iTunes or Spotify or a comment on Spotify. I always screw this up, whatever. If you just want to go on Apple, rate us 5 stars, that is great. That is fantastic. I will give you, you know, just imagine me putting my hand out right now. My hand is open and I'm shaking your hand, which is also open because I'm so thankful that you did this for us. The algorithm, everything needs to grow, yada, wow, yada, yada. The season is starting. Come on, let's pump up this stupid fucking podcast. You can comment on the Spotify, like I said. And hey, what a magical week for interactions. We had 2 comments and a new review on Apple, which is pretty cool.
What the fuck?
So first one, this is from Michael on Spotify. If you guys remember, of course, we talked about Mark Murphy last week and his kickback job at UWGB. Michael did bring up a good point, which I did not think of. UW Green Bay is teaching a Packers history class each term. Maybe this is paying the costs. Very, very good point. I did forget about that. That was announced a year or two ago. I remember looking into it because I don't know if it was virtual. It might have been virtual because I was like, maybe I want to even take this class and like take time off of work during the middle of the day. But then I saw who the
to pay for a class.
I am mentally, it's
what are they going to teach you
about
what?
The Packers?
They're not going to teach you anything.
What grade if you were to take the class and didn't attend a single class, what grade do you think you would get just going into the exams blind?
C, B minus. I mean, it's
so why are you taking the class? If you can get a C without
taking the
class, what's the point?
But again, you didn't learn. That's why I didn't take the class and didn't think of it much because the guy is a little bit younger. If you have like fucking
Gen Z Packer history.
No, I mean he's in like his 50s. I think
who
I wanted it
Jordy
to be old.
Guy.
Like if it was Cliff Crystal or someone. Then you're signing off. If it's like some type of old beat reporter, you're signing up like Mike Vandermoose. If he's still around, someone like that, that would be very cool.
He still tweets every now and then.
Really?
I swear. I just.
The guy with the gray hair and the nice strong jaw. He's a good looking old man.
Yeah, I know who Mike is.
Okay.
I swear I saw him tweet.
But is Bud Lee still with us or is he no longer here?
Is it Bud Lee?
Bud Lee, I thought.
I thought it was a different first name. I don't know. Either way, I didn't take it because I wanted a different older guy, whatever. Again, if you have like 8 hours to waste, the Packers Legacy series on YouTube is
he
worth
hasn't
it.
Tweeted. Mike Vandermoose hasn't tweeted since 2021.
Okay. That's
was
even
so far off.
That is better than I thought you were going to say 2016. That was going to be my guess because I think he's been retired for a while. He was part of like the insiders group back in the day for the Packers news when Wes Hodquitz was like an intern. It was him, Pete Dotry, Rob Domofsky when he was with the Green Bay Gazette and Vandermoose. And then I think it's like separated a little bit. Oh yeah, good looking old guy. He's showing a picture of him right now.
Good looking old guy.
Yeah, and then they fucking hired Ryan Wood.
He's also, kind of it is dork. Bud Lee, no longer with us, passed away in 2021.
Oh, I'm thinking Cliff. Who's Cliff?
Cliff Crystal?
Cliff.
Yeah, got it. I'm all over the place. Some other
Cliff
day.
Crystal is the Packers like historian. Bud Lee was an old Milwaukee Journal Sentinel beat writer.
See,
for
you
ages.
Guys don't need the class. You guys could teach the class.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, if I sat in on this class and just took the exams, could I get a B?
Right,
I think
that's
I could
what I'm
get
saying.
A B.
Probably.
I think I could get a C, maybe a B, but it depends on what those tests are. Like if it's years and shit, because I could be directionally correct. Like I think I could get half credit on just about any question.
Sure,
it's just you know that's not how you usually grade things.
If it's multiple choice,
yes.
If it's multiple
it's
choice,
B.
Absolutely. If it's short answer or like essay, screw that.
Short answer.
I'm not
thank
a writer.
You. I don't take those classes.
Yeah, that would be a lot tougher. Again, YouTube, it's like they break down every decade of the Packers in like 45 minutes. Pretty cool. You learn a lot on there. Another comment that we had on Spotify, because I gave this guy shit because he said, like quietly, a very good Packers podcast. And you commented again this week and said, not quietly, very, very loudly, damn autocorrect. So good fix there. C niche 290. That has to be your God given name. The review we had on Apple is worst Packers podcast. from ECCO Samwise, a longtime listener, first time hater.
Hell yeah.
This is the only Packers podcast I listen to. So simultaneously, the best and worst Packers podcast. Bring back idiot Kyle, you cowards. Or I'm sure he's saying bring back is Kyle an idiot, the trivia that we'd always do. And then he said, but seriously, great podcast. Now send me a koozie. Samwise, email us at pnppodcast@gmail.com or DM us on Twitter. And we will do that. You did not, you knucklehead. So just do that. Give me your address. You will get one. Another DM that we got, which was from just about a month ago, which I think would be a nice little send off here. This is from, we'll just call him Dev. We'll call him Dev, the Dev dog. He did DM the account and said, yo, I need, this isn't a review. This is just us to fucking talk about. Yo, I need help doing a family jersey refresh this year. Wife wants Dobbs, parentheses, favorite player, Wicks or Jacobs for me, ? Then two daughters, both already have love jerseys. One, I would say Dobbs, hell no, no way he comes back. This is the two things you look for are good players and then longevity for these guys. So obviously Jordan Love is number one, but your daughters already have that. Number one for me, it is, I mean, it's Tucker Kraft. Tucker Kraft is number one. Number two, I think there hasn't, and maybe this is risky, but Matthew Golden is probably number two. I would be shocked if he's not at least a solid player, and I just feel better about out of all the wide receivers going with him rather than anyone else at this point. Defensive side of the ball?
I would go Cooper over Golden.
Yeah, that's fair too.
If you're the man of the house... You need an Edger and Cooper jersey.
Okay, so that...
Honorable mention, Tucker Kraft, if you're the man of the house. But, like, you gotta have a linebacker jersey.
I think Tucker's number one. Cooper, yeah, I guess you're right. I'm still thinking longevity here. You still get an extra year under contract with Matthew over Cooper. I'm sure we'll re-sign him. But I do think that the top four for jerseys, I would say, is Tucker... Matthew Golden, Cooper, and I would fucking throw in Xavier McKinney.
And not in order, of course.
Yeah, not in any order. What do you guys think? Do you agree with that, or who would you throw in there?
Matthew Golden's great. I think that's third on the list. I think you... Actually, that's probably fourth on the list for
me. He's also flashy, too. You know, that's fresh. Cooper. I guess Cooper is, too, though. Yeah.
I think it's Cooper, it's Kraft, it's McKinney, and then it's Golden. Those are my top four.
Okay.
In order.
I've never been a fan of buying a rookie's jersey.
Yeah. I bought Dayton Jones'
that's fair.
Jersey.
There's
as a rookie.
Lot. I mean, Dayton Jones also said he wanted to be the best defensive lineman since Reggie White or whatever.
Well, hey, Todd, what did BJ Coleman say?
I was just going to say, BJ Coleman said, I'm going to be the best Packers quarterback.
I think
he said
player.
He might best player in the franchise or something. Franchise. I was like, holy shit. Does he know?
No. Okay, so who... How would you finish it off there, Billy?
I would go McKinney. I would go Cooper. I would go Kraft. And then...
Isaiah McDuffie.
I was going to say Josh Jacobs. I feel like it's risky as a running back.
Right.
But
he's okay, too.
I feel like he's going to be very strong for another couple of years. But... If you're looking for a jersey to wear in 2030 for an active player, probably not him. But at the same time, given the year he had last year, and if he's able to do that for a couple more, like, he's going to be a beloved Packer for years to come, even after he's gone.
Sure. Yeah. And then it's like, it's always fun to think of offensive line, like David Bakhtiari, I think was a good jersey back in the day, but it's like, if you got a 50 Zach Tom jersey, like that seems so lame, like pasteurized milk.
But I kind of like it. Like it's because who has one?
Exactly.
That's what I'm almost like. How fun would a Zane Anderson jersey be? Because
that's
10 years,
fun.
People will be like, Anderson, who's like, it's such a common name that people will be like, who is it? Like Zane Anderson, they'd be like, yeah, that's right.
Do you remember the punter Justin Vogel from way back in the day?
Uh-huh. Was he after we cut John Ryan?
I remember the name.
Yes.
Okay, one of them. Okay.
My friend's last name is Vogel, so she bought a Justin Ryan or a Justin Vogel jersey just so that she could have a jersey with his last name on it. So, I mean, if there's ever a Packer player with my last name, I'm buying that jersey on day one. I don't care if he's a rookie. I don't care if he's an undrafted free agent. I'm buying the jersey.
Yeah, I agree. If there's ever one with my last name too, Sis Monowitz,
you'll have to buy
it. I will have to buy it. We do have a buddy too with the last name Bishop, and he bought the Desmond Bishop back there, which is a pretty good looking jersey too, like the 55 Bishop.
Good linebacker number.
Isn't bad. And he was really good for those 2 years.
He was
before
good.
He blew out, ripped his hamstring, and his career was pretty much toast after that.
He was an animal too. Didn't he have the face mask with like the curve? I'm trying to think.
I don't
had
remember
like
that
kind of
as much.
Face mask.
I still remember because it's when I was going to training camps. He had one hit. No one's going to remember this. He blew up a wide receiver in the middle of the field in preseason. Didn't really play that year at all. And then like the next year I was at training camp and he drove a black Charger, I believe. I always remember that. And I was like, oh, I remember talking to him. I was like, oh, Bishop, can you say he came over? He's like, hey, I still remember you blew up that guy from the Jags last year. And he looked up and like just gave me a smile. I'm like, yeah, we're best friends. Were you looking something up, Todd?
He had the double bar on the top. It wasn't what I was thinking, but he had the double bar on the top of the.
I think Peppers.
Still a good
Peppers
face mask.
Had an aggressive face mask in
he
the
had
later
the
years.
Visor, the dark visor.
Yeah, that too.
He had the black visor, yeah. Who
I think Mike Neal maybe.
Who was
too.
It that had the big. It was like a Giants end. No.
Justin Tuck.
Was it JPP?
Oh, those guys went massive... with, yeah, they had some weird iterations of the face mask.
It looked like a freaking guardrail.
Yeah.
No,
I think the holes were so small you probably couldn't even fit your hand in there to grab the face mask.
I think it was Justin Tuck.
Was it Justin Tuck?
Yeah, it was both. They kept going back and forth. We are not going to wait for you guys to figure out which one of these...
It was Justin Tuck.
Okay. Justin Tuck. There you go.
He had like, they were all at like an angle going down. It's ridiculous.
It's
absolutely ridiculous. You can't see your feet.
Is it almost like scuba mask looking where it's like there's just an opening right in front of the mouth, or am I wrong on that?
No, there's no opening. His was, if they're here, this is the middle, all the lines go at an angle towards the middle all the way up.
This
so
is
like
a visual platform. Yep.
There
was
literally
like,
can't see your feet.
There was like six, eight of
mask.
Them.
Okay. Yeah,
it was ridiculous. He's Bane.
Yes, that's a good point. That was all before Bane had. Well, no, it was Bane.
Rashawn Gary
Bane was probably the reason
to have
why that
this
happened.
Mask.
Ugh.
Everybody go look up the Justin Tuck. He also had the horizontal where he had too many horizontally. Mm. He had that one for I don't know how long.
I'm not looking at it. How many holes are there that your like fingers could fit through to face to
zero?
Yeah, okay, that's what
correct.
I thought. Okay. And,
oh well, the eye hole.
No,
the
he had a visor for a time too. So,
oh,
just
Justin Tuck.
Listeners, just Google Justin Tuck face mask. You'll see what we're talking about.
And also leave a review for the podcast or a rating, 5-star rating. That'd be great.
But more importantly, Google the Justin Tuck face mask, please.
With that, you guys,
we need to bring it back.
You guys have anything else? Roster cut downs, preseason, looking forward to this Seahawks game, yada, yada, yada.
Which Packers player would look best with the Justin Tuck face mask?
Rashawn Gary.
Yeah, it's Rashawn Gary.
He's Bane. He's Bane Gary. Who would look best? Or who like, fits
who,
their
know,
persona?
It's yeah, Bane,
either or.
It would have to be Gary. You almost think LVN, but LVN's such a throwback where he should have nothing, no gloves, no nothing.
Yeah, he should have there. A single bar because he doesn't have any moves.
Yeah, he should look
like
Kevin Green.
Give me Edgerrin Cooper with the Justin Tuck.
That would be a good one too. Okay,
because we don't have anybody on the D line that's like super badass.
No, I kind of want to see like the gap in. Colby, not Colby Wooden.
Brent Cox.
Wyatt.
Brent Cox gives no fucks.
Yeah. Yeah, we want to see his face because he looks angry.
He does.
With that, we got nothing else, huh? Saturday, 3 p.m. We will be back next Thursday, I believe. We will record our season preview episode. And then after that, we'll be back on Tuesdays in season after the kickoff on September 7th. So with that, what, Todd?
People forget Justin Tuck, very handsome.
All right. Also. All right. AJ Dillon, take us out.
To anybody on Twitter or whatever, you can't do what we're doing. Just enjoy. Just watch. Anywhere I quit my job. Yeah. It just won't pay. I worked all year. I worked all month. Then they took my money.
There's one food you could eat, you have to eat for the rest of your life. What would you pick?
Steak.
Cheeseburger.
Oh, give me a porterhouse.
Billy?
I could eat a porterhouse for every
oatmeal.
I feel like I'd probably go with the cheeseburger.
I feel like you get enough variety with it, too. Every time I go to a restaurant, I'm like,
I was going to say, does it count like bacon cheeseburger and mushroom and Swiss and cowboy burger?
Well, if we get to switch up the toppings.
Right.
That's a good point.
That's the question.
I would say I switch up my sides.
Because if I can have a potato and steak for every meal,
you'll be eating good. You'll be nice and chunky.
Yes, sir.
All your carbs.
Already am.